Welcome. I have just a few introduction things to say, and I pray for us. We always like to not rush the beginning to give people a chance to straggle in and to give people online a chance to get the feed up and going in case there is anyone online. I am calling in audible, and for anyone who doesn't know what that is in football, you get to the line of scrimmage, and as the play is about to begin, you change the play. And so I said last week that we were only going to live stream the first class, which we did last week, and then after that do only in person. But it dawned on me afterwards that I really would like to get Pastor John on the live stream. And so this week, our pastor's panel, so we're doing a pastor's panel now, and then at the very end of this class, which is in December, which seems like a long time away, but it'll be here in a snap, I'm sure.
And for the record, we've been calling audibles since March 14th.
Yes, yes, we're very comfortable with that.
You all know that, and thank you for working with us on that.
The point of today's pastor's panel is to talk about our topic, the importance of the church. But to do it from our hearts in a specific way in relation to our relationship here with the church and our ministry here with the church, North Hartford Baptist Church. I'm going to pray for us. I think that's plenty of time to give people online a chance to get the feed up. Welcome if you are watching us online. This will be, reserving the right to change this as always, but this will, as far as we have it planned now, this will be the last live streamed class. So, all right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for life. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we worship you for your kindness toward us. Father, we thank you for, in your providence and in your common graces, for the freedoms that you've given us here. And we pray for our country. We pray for peace. We pray for an age of revival, of gospel ministry and conversions, that we would see many, many people turn to Christ for salvation and live for him as Lord and Master. And Lord Jesus, you are Lord, you are Master, you are our Savior. And so we worship you and we thank you. Father, I pray that you would help us in this study, each and every one of us. Work in our hearts, work in our minds to guide us in the way that we ought to go. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, before I ask Pastor John the panel questions, I want to go over one thing briefly, and then one thing a little bit longer.
Do you want to ask if anybody needs a book?
Yes, that's going to be one of the things.
Okay.
Did you want to distribute those?
Actually, Jason will.
Okay.
He's right there.
If you don't have a schedule for this class and you'd like one, or if you don't have a book for this class and you'd like one, raise your hand. And, okay, we do have a few, so we'll get those out. I think
the books are there.
And when you get your book in hand, or if you have your book in hand, turn to page 47. Turn to page 47, and what I'd like us to do is talk for just a moment about the structure of the class, what's going to happen during the week when you're on your own, and then what's going to happen when we come together. And basically, each one of us, which means you, read the chapter over the course of the week, answer the questions, and then we come back and review and discuss the questions. So the questions are at the end of each chapter. So if you're at page 47, you see review questions. And so this is next week's class, the marks of the church. I'll be doing that. And it's at the discretion of each teacher. Remember, we have four teachers doing this class. Exactly how they want to apply this. I'll just share with you how I'm going to do it. So when we come next week, I'll give a 5-minute summary of the chapter, highlighting a few things. And then we're going to go through the review questions. We're going to go through the review questions. Now, if you look, flip the page, there's 17 review questions. 17 questions. They're not difficult, and a lot of them are related. And they're very short answers. You don't have to. They're not essay questions. What I like to do is read the review questions first, just skim them over, and then read the chapter. And then as you're going through the chapter, the answers will pop right out to you. So basically, the structure of the class will be going over the review questions together. And it's up to the it's totally up to the teacher who's teaching that week which questions he wants to answer and give a summary, and then which questions he wants to just start by saying this. Okay, what did you get for number 8? And then let the class answer. There's too many questions to do that for every single one, but we want this to have interaction. We want everyone to be reading throughout the week. The chapters are relatively short. They're easy to read, but there's lots of good information in them. And so that's what we'll be doing next week, chapter 1, the marks of the church. So read that chapter, answer the questions from the chapter as best you can. If you have any additional questions or cross-references from the Bible that come to your mind as you're answering the questions, take those notes down. Maybe that'll be a point of discussion next week, or maybe it's a point of discussion that we can have outside the class. Okay, so the review questions will structure the class, but it's up to the teacher who's doing it that week exactly how he wants that to look. Any thoughts on that before we move on to this panel?
No, just the encouragement that, carve out that time. I think the class becomes much more meaningful for you when you're not hearing the material for the first time, but you've kind of dealt with it in your life and heart during the week. That's what giving a book is for. So we'll hope that you interact with it and then come ready to discuss and hear.
Okay. Pastor's panel number 1. This reminds me of In the Study. Do you guys remember In the Study? Well, we were...
That was no response at all.
Yeah. We got nods.
Yeah, we got nods. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Where we literally were in Pastor's study doing the live streams when quarantine first began, and we did Sunday morning like that, and we did Wednesday evening like that, and we were flipped. You were always on the right. And now you're on the left.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Are you okay?
I'm it was funny. We even got a response from one of our dear members why I had a file box open in the background. And I would try to remember to close that when we were doing it in the study. I didn't always remember. Hopefully nothing up here is distracting.
The mystery of the file box.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the church. The first question I have is, why do you love the church? Now, that is a big question. I'd like you to answer and talk to us, give testimony about why you have a love for the church in two ways. In general, why do you have a love for the church? But then also, this church in particular, this local body. Talk to those two topics for us.
Okay. Well, the answer to many questions that you asked me today is going to be Jesus, and that is true. And I'm saying that on purpose so that you'll think about that with the answer to every question. So why do I love the church in general? Ephesians 1:23 tells us that the church is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I have a week of spiritual renewal that begins later today through the week, and that's the kind of a verse that would capture my attention, and I would just think about it. And so with regard to the church, his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, so we're talking about the church being a manifestation of the person of Christ on earth. He ascended into heaven, but he is Lord over the church at God's right hand. He's chosen to make known his glory through the church. And we gather locally, weekly, as scripture indicates, for teaching, for prayer, for fellowship, for worship. We bear witness as a congregation and as individuals in the community, honoring Jesus by honoring his word. So I love the church because I love Jesus, and it's his chosen way to manifest his glory on the earth. Why do I love this church? Again, because I love Jesus, and it was his choice to call me into ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, that I'll probably read later, tells us that he appoints pastors and teachers. He began that work in my heart as a junior at Virginia Tech, and it led, after training, to North Hartford Baptist Church as the associate pastor. So I love this church because it's where Jesus has assigned me to serve as a pastor teacher. But being here now, going on 35 years, it is certainly my family in so many ways. My son Jason is sitting up here in the front. He'll be one of the teachers. He was born in 96. That was 10 years after we came. And now I'm, you know, celebrating he and Patty Lynn's first grandchild. I say that for me, but I've seen it in your families as well. And what a blessing. So I love this church because it really is a family to me. He's kept me in this assignment, Jesus has, and I've stood with individuals, I've stood with families in times of joy, times of trial, and that's a personal and practical reason why I love this particular church. The general reason would be because this is where he's assigned me, and he hasn't taken me anywhere else.
So are you saying that if a person, in your testimony, the person is you, but if a person loves Jesus, they will love his church?
There's not an option there, and I'll say more about that later, but he is, that is how he is manifesting himself. That is how he wants us, that's the central way that we are to manifest him in the world personally, is through the work of the church. In many, many ways, but through the work of the church.
Centrally there, right.
So the answer, I think, to your question was yes.
Okay, good. I knew it would be. That's why I asked it. I think that's the point to reiterate, and for each one of us to have in our hearts, that we love Jesus, therefore we love his church. We love the head, we love the body. Christ is the head of the church is his body. One of the things that came to mind as you were talking was what the risen Christ said to Saul on the road to Damascus. Saul had been persecuting the church, and when Christ appeared to him, he didn't say, "Why are you, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church?" He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because the church is his body. The church is filled with, in a spiritual sense, the Spirit of Christ. And so it is the special presence of Christ on earth. That's why the church is called the temple of the living God. And for the record, I knew this, and I was counting on you going to Ephesians 4. Based on this topic, I knew Pastor John would be going to Ephesians 4, so I deliberately left it out of my notes. So any deficiencies of this pastor's panel that have to do with something in Ephesians 4, I'm putting that on your plate. But I knew you were going there. It is a terrific passage for seeing the function and the purpose of the church and the unity of the church and how each member in the church is called to serve in the church. Just a wonderful, challenging, but encouraging passage.
I will read it, but I'm going to make you wait.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. Second question. And by the way, I did plan on leaving time for you to ask questions. So you have time to formulate them, get them to be concise and pointed. And if we don't get to them, we will find time at some point. But I do plan on doing that. Share one of your favorite passages about the church and explain why it is important to you, is the way I gave you the question, but just why it's important. Why it's important to you, why it's important to us.
And this is where you might have thought I would have gone to Ephesians 4, but I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Matthew 16, verse 15. The context of this is Jesus speaking to the disciples He asked them, who do people say that I am? And then he asked them in verse 15, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so just verse 17 is like a highlighter going back to verse 16. My Father revealed this, so we need to look back at what he said. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 18, I also say to you that you are Peter, which means a small stone, and upon this rock, large stones, is something different. And I think, speaking of what he had proclaimed, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So three things, and why I chose this passage. When I say three things, people get nervous. You know, that's a sermon right there.
Do it.
But no. I want them to have time to ask questions. But just look at the phrase, upon this rock I will build my church. First of all, upon this rock. Jesus is the foundation. Because that rock is, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so our mission, if it's to be consistent with what Jesus, I think, is giving us his mission here, I will build my church, it's to be proclaiming him. People around us need to be told that Jesus was not a mere man. And most people might say that, but they don't act like he was more than a mere man. They think of him as a historical figure. And so we are here to proclaim, no, he was and is God the Son who became man. He fulfilled that which was prophesied in the Old Testament of the Messiah, the Christ, dying on the cross, paying sin's penalty upon the cross, that holy God might offer forgiveness. He rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and he's coming again. So upon this rock, the church is to be with Jesus in proclaiming that truth. And then, I will build. This is so encouraging. I will build. You know, it's not up to Pastor Matt and I to be ingenious and come up with all the practical ways to make church grow. We're to be wise.
Praise the Lord for that.
And we're to do it in a way that Scripture tells us to do as pastors, which is the preaching of the Word. But what I'm constantly encouraged with is that Jesus will build his church. John 12:32, if I'm lifted up from the earth, and that was his crucifixion, I will draw all men to myself. We'll dip into Ephesians 4 here, verse 11 and 12. He gave, so he is, I believe he is still doing this today. He gave not apostles, but he did give apostles. He gave prophets. He is giving, I believe, evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So Jesus building his church is still calling people into ministry for that building process. And then John 15 and verse 5 is a verse that reminds me to always be in prayer for anything that I do, anything that you do, you should be as well. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit.
Amen.
For apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the builder. And then the third thing I would say about this passage, Jesus is the owner. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So our mission, if it's to be consistent with his, is to glorify him. It's his church, to show forth his excellence, to humble ourselves under his authority. I recently had a chance to say to a group, you know, whenever God has me step down from active ministry as the lead pastor of this church, there's nothing I'm trying to leave other than manifesting the glory of Christ in those years that he's allowed me to serve here. It's his church. And so we want to praise him with one voice. We want to be a thankful people for what God has done in Christ. We want to honor him with the way we obediently live our lives inside and outside of this building. And so Sermon on the Mount, one of the glorious things there is we're sitting before our Lord and hearing what he says about righteousness. We want to do our work heartily and with excellence. And so Jesus, builder, owner, He's the foundation. Why is this important to me? Why is church important to me? This happened before my call to ministry. Someone spoke about eternal things, what was going to last, what was going to burn, from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. We were just in that Wednesday night. But I have a yearning, and always have, especially since that talk, that teaching, to live for what's eternal. And the church is eternal.
Amen.
Jesus and what he is building is eternal. And so that passage, but particularly what Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, that phrase comes back to me often in ministry and encourages my heart.
Thank you for that answer. I appreciate you sharing all that. One of the things you said is a good transition to the, I didn't pick a big passage, but three short ones that are close by if you want to turn to Ephesians. But one of the things you said was, this is where we focus on bringing him glory. This is where he is glorified. And so my answer to this favorite passage is Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 is the first one. And then I have one from Ephesians 2 and one from Ephesians 1. Yeah. Favorite passages about the church.
Said one of your favorite passages.
Yeah, it isn't extended. So technically, passage will be Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 3.
With cross references.
Graciously skipping big portions of that for time's sake.
Yeah.
But this is important because it's a reminder that the church is the primary and central place where God is showcasing his glory. He's showing forth himself. He's revealing himself. And so Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, in the middle of a prayer here, Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us," that's the power of the Holy Spirit, that's resurrection power, "to him be glory in the church." Now see, that's the phrase that captures my attention. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You just said that. The church is an eternal reality. And the purpose of the church is to bring God glory. It's a place where he is put on display. His glories are put on display. I'll summarize exactly how and what that means. But first, turn backwards one page to Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. He says the same thing in a different way. Here the context is talking about conversion, the conversion of sinners to be saved. And in verse 6 he says, "And raised us up," so talking about something that God did, "he raised us up with him," with Christ, "and seated us with him," with Christ, "in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that..." Now see, here that's the phrase that captures my attention. There's a purpose why God saved us. "So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So why did God save us? Lots of different reasons you could say there, but if you burrow under all of the different reasons, there's one foundational reason, one primary reason, to show forth his kindness expressed in Christ. He's showing his kindness towards sinners. And the church is where that happens. And then one more, if you want to flip back to Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, saying something similar, very closely related to this. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Again, the context is salvation, the plan of salvation, more broadly than individual conversion, although individual conversion is definitely in view here. "Making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose," okay, so his will, his purpose, "which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time." So his will, his purpose, his plan for the fullness of time. This is God's eternal purpose. This is the reason for anything and everything. God's eternal purpose, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. To bring all things together in Christ. To make all things right in Christ. And have Christ as Lord over all of it. This is God's eternal purpose. And the church is the centerpiece of that purpose. And he is showing forth his saving grace. And so he's glorified in that as we see his saving grace and worship him and praise him and thank him for that. And connected to saving grace always has to be this word, power. His saving power. And so his saving grace and his saving power are put on display in the church so that he would be worshipped for those things. And also connected to these is he is showing forth and he has revealed his triune nature. His triune nature, that he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That God is one God, one eternal, unchanging God. One in essence who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. His revelation of himself and his saving of sinners through Christ go hand in hand. Those are the same thing. He's showing us who he is. And he's reconciling us to himself. The same redemptive reality, the same eternal purpose that's brought forth through Christ. And so that's my answer. Of a favorite passage, a favorite series of short verses. The church is where God is glorified. It's where he's showing us who he is and bringing us to himself. Want to go to number three? Or did you have anything else on that you'd like to get out there? Number three, summarize some things that you have seen the Lord do here over the years, or some ways the Lord has shown himself faithful to the church. I know you've read this, but just so they can hear it again, summarize some things that you have seen the Lord do here over the years, going on 35, or some ways the Lord has shown himself faithful to the church. I realize those are pretty much the same question said in a different way, but
that's a tough one. Not tough to think of things, but tough to think of all the things because of the years that have gone by. I do keep a scrapbook. Not so much of year by year, but just sometimes notes and things. And a lot of what I first thought of was just the faithful use of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And then hearing and answering prayers over the years. I want to read a passage from 2 Timothy and then talk about, you know, what I have seen over the years in a general way. Paul writes, from childhood to Timothy, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And as I'm reading that, I'm thinking, those are things I want to be able to look back on. Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So I would say I've seen God mature people. I've seen him especially burden hearts for different ministries, not necessarily ministries that I or my associate or anyone else in the church were thinking of, but somewhere along the line, and it might have been before my time, but it certainly has been in use in my time, is the food ministry, offering meals to those after funerals and such. And a lot of churches do that, but it's a greatly appreciated ministry, and you have to have those who have a heart to do it, because you do it within a few days, get it ready and do that. The Tabitha ministry has been a special one. Secret Pals has grown up out of the burden of hearts. Intercessory prayer ministry, which is someone who prays during the worship service. They take a notebook that I put a few notes in and are praying up in our prayer room or another location during the actual service. That was a burden of someone's heart, also my heart as well. Prayer for missions and then going on missions as well. I mentioned a minute ago that the generations, well, it's been good to see family discipleship. People that were in the youth group when I came, who became parents, who have children, who are saved because of their faithfulness in church and faithfulness in teaching. I've seen certainly a willingness to serve one evidence that you would know of just, you know, the three nights we had the movie. I don't think you had to pull teeth to get people out there to do the work that was necessary on those nights, and that generally has been the case. I've seen mission involvement from wanting to hear missionaries to actually going different places, whether it be continentally or across the seas. I've seen faithful giving over the years. I have colleagues who struggle with, you know, budgets, and God has put faithful people here, and I think has brought more faithful people here. One evidence of that, that I would say is a work of the Lord, is just that we've not lagged behind since March, since things changed. The giving has been faithful. A real blessing is that I've seen God call individuals into full-time ministry. And I will list a few, but it's not a full list, so please, if I miss a name, just pardon me for that. But two very close to me, Justin Manry and Jason, along with Patty Lynn Manry, preparing and ministering. And Jason now, if you didn't know, is a teacher at one of our local schools, Perry Hall Christian School, teaching Bible there, and had a good first week. I'm glad for that. Jeff Kelly, a missionary with his wife in Northern Africa. Nicholas Piotrowski, president of a seminary. What a blessing to have known Nick in earlier years. Mike and Becky Christ on the mission field, teaching in a seminary-type situation. Saren Mack, years of faithfulness in Ukraine. And I could go on and on, but that has been a special blessing of this church to see individuals. I pray for more. Pray that God would keep calling, planting in his church those pastors, teachers, those evangelists / missionaries, we would think of them, all around the world. And then to see souls saved. Yeah, pictures of faces came to my mind as I thought about this question, and the longing to see God do that in greater ways. Those are some of the things I think of.
Thank you for sharing those. It's a long list. God is faithful. God is faithful in his church to bless the ministry. I'm going to share briefly three things that I saw the Lord had done and was doing as we were going through the interview process and helped us to make a decision and get clarity on coming here. One was a commitment to sound doctrine. Not that we've arrived, and not that we have everything ironed out perfectly, but on the core Christian doctrine, for instance, inspiration of Scripture, what the gospel is, those kinds of things, that's not easy to find, and that's something to rejoice in. Commitment to sound doctrine, but not just in theory, in practice, and so that leads to my second thing that I saw: word-centered ministry. A commitment to the Word can never be just something that's on a document in a filing cabinet or on a website page. To communicate what we hope to be about or want to be about, or in theory, this is what we're about. No, the ministry and the ministries must be focused on and centered on the Word of God. The Word of God changes hearts. And so sound doctrine, commitment, word-centered ministry commitment. And then something that we saw on the interview weekend was people of all ages, different generations, serving with joy. And it was just one weekend, but we got to see a glimpse, and not only in the way in the ministries that went on that weekend, but just looking at different things and learning about the church, seeing younger people, older people, people in between, serving in the church with joy and working together. And again, not that we've arrived, not that we don't have any more growing to do, but that's not easy to find, and it's something to rejoice in. And since I've been here, I could say many, but I've just picked out one, and I think you said it as well, Pastor, so I won't dwell on it, but a growing love for local outreach and local evangelism. That's something that we need to grow in, and I've seen God grow us in that. It's going to take a while. We want to continue to grow in that, I think is a better way to say that. To see outreach and evangelism efforts as a normal part of the body life of the church, not as an add-on, not something we do every once in a while, but as something that in our hearts we're growing in our desire and love for, desire to reach the lost, growing in our love for the lost, trying to see outreach and evangelism as a normal part of the week in, week out ministries and body life. And then the final thing I'll say on that, the same point, but just final thing I'll say about it is that each one of us would see outreach, local outreach and local evangelism as part of our personal discipleship. There's no distinction over here, like I'm following Jesus over here. And then maybe I can add on this point of loving the lost and caring about local outreach and evangelism. Now, we all will have a part in that in a different way. We don't all have to do the same thing, participate in the same way. But in some way, even if it is prayer, and you are a prayer warrior for the lost and a prayer warrior for the ministries of outreach and evangelism, but in some way, participation in the church and supporting the church in local outreach and evangelism is part of the individual Christian's discipleship. Four, what are some things you're currently praying for the church, and hoping to see either now or in the future, near future, long term, things you're currently praying for and hoping to see God do in the church?
I'm going to answer that, but first, just one comment. I hope you heard Pastor Matt say what he said about sound doctrine. He said it's not easy to find. You know, we've been blessed to have that in this church, I believe, through the pastors you've had, but also through the people who love the Word of God. But to hear that it's not easy to find is not encouraging to me. I don't want that, you know, Jesus Church to be represented that way. But it is something that I pray, and here's the question, what are you currently praying for? A continued faithfulness in that. I mean, we live in a culture that is the reason why some churches are not sound in doctrine anymore. And the culture, according to my understanding of Scripture, and I listen, short of an awakening and revival again, you know, in this land, we don't expect the culture to get better. We want to be salt and light in it, certainly, and influence pockets of it. But we expect that to be a continued issue where sound doctrine becomes more and more at odds with the culture. So one prayer is faithfulness in the ministry of the word, that we would never back down. 1 Timothy chapter 3:15, Paul writes, "In case I'm delayed," to Timothy, "I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God." Listen to how he describes it, the pillar and support of the truth. So that we can say that, but we do that through the kind of teaching and preaching that we do, that our thoughts, our applications, our thrust in life, our practical ministry, that it all comes from the Word of God, and so sound doctrine. I'm glad you said that. Faithfulness in the ministry of the Word is something that I pray for, that I would not ever shy away from that. Secondly, another answer to the question, what are some things you're currently praying for? Open doors for the Word. I pray this all the time as I drive around the community. And one day that led me to just stop in a nursing home and say, "Do you have a Bible study?" And they didn't, and they welcomed one. And so that began, years and years ago, probably, I don't remember exactly when, the very beginning of the 2000s at least, we began ministering down at the Donna Heritage. And now we were ministering in five nursing homes. We hope to get back to those. But that was an example of an open door for the Word. But I pray for more of that, an ability to be out in the community doing what we do, representing Christ and teaching sound doctrine. There are other open doors, but I won't go into all of that, but I'm always praying for that. Paul mentions that in Colossians 4:3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up a door for the Word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. Just looking for ways to do that. We did it on the lawn a few weeks ago with the movie night, and particularly that third night of sharing the gospel in some very specific ways on screen and by mouth, and then offering the literature. That was an example of an open door for the word. We got to meet people that evening that we had never met before. And some more of that. So faithfulness in the ministry of the word, that never ceases, and that we only grow stronger in it, open doors for the word of God.
I want to go back and qualify a statement. I think it's such an important topic, and then I have a short answer to this question, and then I want to, hopefully, there are a few questions out there we'll get from you. If not, we have another one we could do, but if you have one, that'd be great. So I want to qualify, just in case I didn't say it exactly the right way, when I said the sound doctrine in a church is hard to find. And here's the qualification I want to give. In a true church, in biblical churches, it's not hard to find.
Right.
The problem is there's so many false churches out there. Groups of people calling themselves Christian ministries, calling themselves Christian, calling themselves churches, but their teaching is contrary to the word of God. And so that's just not where we ever want to be.
Right.
And we can never, ever be ashamed to say that what we believe and what we teach and what we do and how we do it and the heart behind it is based on this book. That's, if that domino falls, it's just a matter of time. Because you cannot have true worship or true spiritual growth or true ministry apart from sound doctrine. The truth is revealed in God's word. My answer to this question, currently praying for and hoping to see now, I want to see us to continue to grow in our unity. Right? And so when I saw this question and when I wrote this question, I didn't have to take some time out and go think about it, because it's always on my heart and in my prayers. And so I'm just sharing with you what's been on my heart and in my prayers, and trying to make it a part of ministry and my conversation, that we would grow in our unity, that we would come together under a common vision to make and equip disciples of Christ for the glory of God, to make and to equip disciples of Christ for the glory of God. That summarizes our mission. That doesn't say everything about our mission or how we do it or the different strategies or different things like that. But to come together in unity and love. And one of the things that I thought about as I was getting notes together for this class was, and particularly this question, was Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Christ's letters to the churches. And those letters have strengths, those letters have weaknesses, things they need to grow in or things they need to repent of. And I think all true churches, just like all true Christians, have strengths and weaknesses. And you want to build your strengths, and grow in your weaknesses and repent where we need to repent. So that's a very general, conceptual way of thinking about it. I think at the center of it all, no matter what else has to happen, we've got to grow in our unity around the common biblical vision for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any questions from the class? We have a good number today. I can't tell if we have more or less or the same as last week, but just don't be bashful. Raise your hand if you'd like to ask us something.
We were late coming in, so I didn't hear the beginning. Could you define for me the church as you consider the church?
Yeah, the local church would be where I would start on that definition. It's a local body of believers and...
Repeat
the question is define the church. How do we define the church? Yeah. Sorry about that. One of my bad habits is I always forget to repeat the questions, even though every class I remind myself to do it and often write little notes to myself. The local church is a body of believers in Christ Jesus who come together to do the Lord's will and the Lord's work and worship together. Then there's a universal church, all those who are saved from all ages, from all places. That won't assemble until... after the last day or on the last day. Pastors?
I would distinguish between the two, but they're united. And
yeah.
But yeah. Anything else? It's quite an opportunity, isn't it? Don't think of it that way. You're free to come to us anytime with questions. But pertaining to this, we wanted you to know some of our heart as we enter into this book, this class together. I think that was your reason for this.
Yeah. And we do have one more question here. I was just reserving it. Just give you a chance. I'm going to give you one more chance here. So if you're just working up the courage, you'll have about 15 or 20 seconds here. But yeah, it goes back to something I said last week, Pastor. I don't want this just to be head knowledge. I want this to be a time of spiritual growth for us. And so to talk from the heart, I think, is something that we all need to do on this topic. And so we can model that. We can set that example and start this discussion. And you could hear where he's coming from, where I'm coming from, and see the way that hear the way that we're thinking about what God is doing and why some of the things of why we do what we do, why we focus where we focus, why we prioritize the way we prioritize. And hopefully the theme that came out was the Word of God is the foundation of all that. All right, last chance. Any tip of the tongue comments you've been holding back or questions? Yeah.
Just thought of one. What if the live audience here, why would somebody want to come here to this local body?
I'll repeat the question and give it to Pastor John because I did the last one. Why? The question is, why would someone want to come here to this particular local body?
Do you mean to North Hartford Baptist Church?
North Hartford Baptist, yeah. If you're, I'm assuming it's a Christian, a follower of Jesus. They're either new to the area or just looking for a church. Why would this be a place to come to worship?
Well, if they listen to this hour-long time, I mean, you've been given answers, but obviously we want to honor Christ. We see it as His church. We want to, the way we see to do... Yeah, so the question was, thank you, all our little notes in remembrance this time, me, I didn't.
Did I you? Did.
Uh-huh. Okay, Pastor Matt did. Yeah. The question is... All right, I'm going to do it right now. Okay, we're good. The question is, why would someone want to come to this particular church? And I would say because it is a church that is seeking to honor Christ through the preaching of the Word of God and the unity, the joy of fellowship, worship, learning together, comforting one another, all of the things that we see church doing in the passage. I think that we have a heart to do those, even though imperfect in doing them. So it is a good choice in our community. Now, we could get to some particulars about our doctrine, but that would be another question. I just think if someone wants to honor Jesus and learn how to follow Him, this is one of the good places. Not the only one, but one of the good ones.
Yeah, my answer would is something that is behind everything that you're saying, would be the Holy Spirit. I mean, it takes the Holy Spirit to put that burden on someone's heart. Whether they're lost and they hear the message through the ministries here and are saved and come into the church, that's the Holy Spirit doing it. If it's someone who's already saved and maybe they moved to the area or for one reason or another looking for a biblical church, it's got to be the Holy Spirit. And it's got to be the providence of God and the Holy Spirit of God bringing people together based on His truth. And that's what God does. He brings people together based on His truth, by His Spirit, for His glory. And connected to that, I would just go back to some other things we were talking about. Therefore, the more we are about the truth, and the more we are led by the Spirit and filled by the Spirit and characterized by the Spirit in the ways we interact and speak, things like that, we'll see more fruit in God bringing us together, bringing people together based on His truth and by His Spirit. Final question I had. If you had any more questions, just email us, ask us afterwards. My final question number 5, if you had one brief word of encouragement to give the church this morning, and you have more than that, you have a sermon coming up and other things, but if, in this moment right now, if you had one brief word of encouragement to give to the church, what would it be?
To honor Jesus by being a properly working individual part of the body. There's great joy in that. And I'm going to read the passage that you thought I was going to read earlier. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. So this is part of my brief word. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. It's all about Him. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. And that is what I meant by the pressures of the culture. A lot of that's going on in today's world. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, picturing the human body, according to the proper working of each individual part. Now, each individual part is each individual member. So that's where that encouragement, the proper working of each individual part. You are helpful, you minister in the body and through the body to the community. Anyway, the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And if we are doing that, Christ is honored. So it goes back to the one word answer, Jesus.
All right, I'm going to answer and then ask you to close us in prayer, okay?
All right, sounds good.
My brief word of encouragement that I also will expound upon. Yeah, when we say brief word, we mean a brief message, not a one sentence.
It's pastoral talk.
It is. Look to Christ in faith and put God's glory first. So there's a two-sided coin I'm flicking out to you. Look to Christ in faith and put God's glory first. Any spiritual issue, any sin struggle, any discouragement, any lack of assurance, any spiritual issue at the individual level, the remedy is to look to Christ in faith. It doesn't say everything about how you do that or what does that mean, but He is the remedy. He is alive. He is reigning as priest and king. He is merciful. He is approachable. We cannot approach the president or other world leaders, but we can approach the King of Heaven. Look to Him in faith in spiritual battles that we're all going to. And we do that at a church level too. We want to be doing that, looking to Him, not to ourselves. And then put God's glory first. It's such a trend. Well, I guess it's true in every age, brother, not just now, but I do see a lot of it now of putting personal preference first, putting feelings first. If I feel spiritual, it must be spiritual. If I feel like this is right, it must be right. If I feel like this is true, it must be true. We must put God's glory first. We'll solve a lot of our problems and grow in a lot of our weaknesses if we can, as we're looking to Christ in faith, put God's glory first in our hearts. That's a process. A tree can be full of life and vigor, but it doesn't have all of its branches and leaves and fruit yet. There's a growth process, but it's still a tree and it's still living and it's moving in the right direction. And that's where we want to be. So would you pray for us?
Yes. Father, we come humbly before You and thanking You, all of us, that You have placed us by Your grace, bringing us to repentance and faith, placed us in Your church. And thank You for this local church. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to be a part in the process of what You say when You say, I will build My church. Build us, we pray. Help us to be faithful to the foundation, the truth of Jesus, Your Son. Father, I pray that You would bless in this way. And thank You for a chance to just share our hearts this morning from Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.